Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Two world champions, they happen to be twin brothers.
Well, the ingredients are there. Two guys who love to sit down to their punches and throw that firepower.
I'm not scared of nobody, and I'm definitely not scared of someone who talks. There's no one in the division that can beat me. There's no one in the division that's strong as me.
It would definitely deliver a statement. The power is for real. We would get a chance to let everyone in the world see the great things that me and my twin brother has done for the sport of boxing.
Oh! Charlo just dropped Lubin!
Being on the same card gives us energy. We want to be sharp. We want to be at our best.
We're going to both meet in the middle of the ring, and we're going to let our hands go. Let the best men win.
They are boxing. And they pound for pound.
Welcome back, man. Season 2 of All the Smoke.
We got a real special guest.
What's up with you, Brody? With the virtual handshake.
I'm gonna tell y'all something that I never told nobody.
I want All the Smoke.
Welcome back, Season 2, All the Smoke. Man, we'd like to welcome two... I think this is dope because, I mean, I have identical twins myself. So to see identical twins excelling on the biggest stage in professional boxing, welcome the Charlo twins. How y'all
My
doing?
My boys.
What's up, bros?
Yes, sir. We appreciate y'all, man.
Mel and Maul.
Man, I appreciate y'all for having us on there, man.
Nah, thank you. We excited. We know you got a big fight coming up on the 26th on Showtime. Our family, so it's only right we sit down with y'all. This is, like Jack said, this is a long overdue interview. I ran into one of y'all this summer in Vegas, so it's good to finally kind of sit down and chop it up with y'all. So let's get to it, Jack.
Hey, hold up. How you say Mac was acting in Vegas, bro?
Man, he was acting real, real Hollywood, you know what I mean? He was probably stoned.
That's all it was, because, hey, I was sitting by the chair, by the elevator, waiting for my motherfucking kids to come down who were taking forever, and that's how you hit it on the head. I was just high in my own little world, but then I seen y'all walk by, I'm like, damn, that's one of the Charlo brothers, ain't it? But I wasn't sure, because y'all look kind of short, so I wasn't sure. But it ended up being, so it was cool, like I said. But yeah, man, you know, I mean, if you know me, I'm definitely not Hollywood. I was just super high. I just be in my own world sometimes.
Always so. High, always no, high.
No, I said, that's respect. Matthew Bourne.
All right, well, let's get to it. You know, obviously, you guys got a relationship with Jack. How did that start? And Jack, have you ever got a chance to catch any of their fights live?
Of course. I've been to a couple of their fights. I actually don't remember how we met. I just know, I think it just became from us being from Texas and supporting each other and talking on IG.
I remember how we met. It was one time y'all had a game. You was playing for San Antonio, and I was in the back. And I think me and my twin brother, we was like, hey, Stack, he from Houston. He just, like, showed us some love or whatever, and it just always kicked it off from there.
Man, I don't even remember that. That's how stoned I
took a picture with you.
I thought we just, especially when y'all start coming up, you know, knowing y'all from Texas, I just start supporting y'all. Y'all know I show a lot of people love on my page, but then, you know, I just start supporting y'all, and I saw the connection with CB, Chris Brown, and that's my little brother, too. So it all became family, even though we haven't been around each other that much, but to support. And then, you know, the last couple fights y'all had, y'all know I'm right there ringside supporting y'all, man. So, you know, it just became family from a distance.
That's I definitely dope. Spotted you out in the crowd a couple of times at the fights, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even hung out us ringside with us sometimes, Joe. You was nothing like Matt.
So now I'm the asshole. That's crazy. No, we definitely gonna kick it down. Once y'all get through these fights, we gonna get down. We gonna see. We gonna kick it.
Hey, it'd be fun to let your kids see some older twins, I swear. When me and my brother used to see older twins, it always was like, wow, the twins get big, you know, like, we always is, some older
they
twins.
They don't change.
No, that's dope, because like I was telling y'all before, I mean, you guys boxed and fight as children. My boys go at it, and that's what I ask, because if one hurts the other one, I don't give a fuck how mad they are, they're going to stop to see if their brother's okay, and that's no matter what. If I'm disciplining one of them, the other one's mean mugging me like he wants to do something to me. If I tell the other one something that the one twin, like, it's always... The connection is incredible, and I feel like you guys being identical twins, I'm sure you got this similar experience.
Yep.
All right, so who? Raise your hand. Who's older? Because I'm sure I'm going to forget. I mean, I have a hard time telling my twins
I'm
apart.
Older.
Well, raise your hand, though, so we can see. Okay, that's the older one right there. And you said by 1 minute?
One long minute.
Now, you guys had similar kind of paths in your career as far as kind of being misunderstood. You know, Jack and I were perceived as bad guys just because we always had our teammates back and we weren't really with the bullshit. And it kind of seems like you guys have a similar reputation when you let the media tell the story. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, it took a lot for us to, like, really just, you know, finally get the media to understand that we ain't just some bad kids, you know what I'm saying? And they thought we was just some bad young twins coming up in a gang and ganging violence and all of this stuff. But we really, like, down-to-earth warriors, but we stand for what we stand for. And so that created so much, you know, hatred towards us. And then everybody we fought, we knocked out. Then after we knocked them out, we didn't want to shake their hand. And it's like, that ain't what it's about. So we didn't look at it like a sport. Like, you know, we had to learn sportsmanship in this game.
No, that's what's
up. But how could you tell somebody to control his emotion after you just been pounding on somebody for 12 rounds? Like me, I know personally, if I played a game of basketball and somebody said the wrong thing to me, even if I won, I ain't shaking your hand no more for the rest of my career. Damn, the game. Yeah, I'm not speaking, none of that. It's Plex. It's Plex forever. As long as I see you, it's Plex. Because you said something that
wrong. Let alone they be talking all kind of mess before the fight, the build up to the fight. So we already don't want to be cool with you. Then next thing you know, we knock you out. It's like, yeah, I told you, you know what I mean? Like,
I seen one press conference where y'all was talking, I think it was your last fight, and you was talking, well, I just don't like the dude. And I think that's, I mean, just to keep it real, I mean, that's the kind of shit we'd be on. I mean, just that realness, and sometimes it's misconstrued as being a bad person, but it really is just being real. It's being who you are, and people like to sugarcoat shit too much.
Exactly.
Growing up in Houston, what got you guys into boxing? Was that your first sport? Did you guys play other sports? What got you guys into putting them gloves on?
To be honest with you, man, I boxed. My dad had us, like, you know, some fighters, you know, we would fight the whole neighborhood, like, in Lafayette. Then when we moved to Houston, it was a new outlet for us. Instead of us being like on the street fighting each other, fighting other kids and fighting each other or whatnot, we would just be, you know, in the boxing ring, and we took off from there.
At a young age, who had the upper hand?
I was always Big Charlotte, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I used to go when I was young, though.
You know what I'm saying? That's
I was the one. I was the one back then.
We had our wars.
You guys, obviously, with the Texas ties with Errol Spence, he was someone we had on the show. Man, after his accident, God bless, he was okay after that. How did you guys connect with him the first time?
We've been with Errol Spence for a long time. My brother fought on the same USA team with him. I mean, you know, they fought in, like, tournaments and stuff, and we fought in tournaments together. We didn't fought each other before. So it always was a Texas thing. You know, he around the same age as us. So we always kept it like, you know, like what's up, homie? What's up? Like that. Then all of a sudden we connected. You know, when I switched trainers from Ronnie Shields to Derrick James trained him. I left and went to Dallas, and ever since then it's been like some brothers. Like, you know, I've been with Derrick James for 5 years now.
I think he also mentioned how he respected the way that you came and asked him before you moved on to that trainer. I think that obviously shows what kind of character you have as a man and the rules to the game.
Yeah, because Derrick only trained one fighter, you know, and that was Earl. So it was like, hey, you know, you got your own custom trainer to you. I ain't trying to steal your style. I ain't trying to knock your trainer, but he go hard. Like, hey, I'll train with him. What's up? It was, you know, then Earl like, yeah, go ask him, man. It's up to you. You know, we made it click from there. We've been bobbing ever since.
May 2016. Right after you guys' 26th birthday, you guys made history. Can you guys talk to us a little bit about that in both of your guys' perspectives?
We made history, you know. The first twins to ever hold the belt simultaneously in the same weight division. It was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy because we both wanted to be like, I'm the reason we made history. I'm the reason, you know, we both competitive. So I already had the belt at middleweight, but then my brother had to capture his belt for us to both make world history, you know. So it was like, it's all up to you, bro. Go ahead, go out there, do your thing. And he was out in the fight. I know, but at first he was out in the fight and it was a little struggle, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, man, he gotta do something,
he gotta
do it right now. Then next thing you know, boom, we got the knockout. So it was like, yeah, we made history, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was May 21st.
Yeah, May 21st. And what was your perspective on it, seeing that you had to, you know, you had to hold your end of the deal up to make history?
I couldn't drop the ball, you know, and I know my brother's sitting in the back, you know, just, man, let's get this, let's get this, let's get this. And, you know, nobody in the boxing world
can say that they have a twin brother fighting on the side of them, same age, same weight. We just been doing the thing, you know? So that was a big mark for us. That was one of our, like, milestones for sure.
That's dope. When you guys obviously you're at each other's fight, what kind of anxious or nervous energy or scared? Explain your emotions when you're watching your brother in that ring.
Before y'all answer, you got to peep him though. You know, I didn't watch him a couple of times. Big bro, I'm gonna tell you what I think. When Lil Bro fighting, Big Bro in there, he more on the side like, man, do this because if I was in there. Lil Bro, when he watching Big Bro fight, he want to get in there and help. When he look like Big Bro having a little trouble, he want to get in there and help. I'm saying, that's what it look like to me.
Man, I honestly, you know, like, I'm always trying to give my brother some pointers and show him, like, you know, hey, bro, do this, you know, do that. But, like, he's so zoned in. I'm like, damn, I really don't want to, like, you know, break his confidence. But, you know, honestly, we look for each other's, like, advice for the fight. Like, I fight according to, like, how my brother know how I feel. You know, if he know I'm feeling a certain way, he's just got, like, this way of just telling me, you know, do this and do that. But, you know, something that his trainer can't even do. Like, my trainer can't even do. We both got our, like, our own bond. So,
yeah,
I definitely be in there, like, hyped up. I want to fight for him, you know?
Like, I be feeling like, man, I'm the little bro. Just put me out there. I'll do the fighting for you, man. Just get the money. I'll fight. I be feeling like that. Like, it's like your kid. It's like your children, Matt. They feel it. It's like it definitely got that twin feeling, dog. It's like, it's definitely some twin shit that's been going on.
It's a different energy. I mean, there's situations, you know, when they were little playing soccer, one kid pushed one of the twins down. The other twin came across the field and clotheslined this little motherfucker, but they're only like 4 years old. Or one time where normally twins will always get sick, but one goes to get sick before. So one would go to school and the other one at home all day is worrying about, are you sure my brother's okay at school? Should we call? Should we see if he's okay? Should we go pick him up? Because he's probably going to be sick too. So I just know I get that. Like you said, your trainer can't even read that. And it's shit that I just, from the outside, I peep. I can't read that energy and vibe like they can. So it's definitely that twin connection y'all got.
I can relate because I used to, you know, my brother didn't make it, you know, on the bus. I'd be like, dang, he just don't know where to go.
Straight up. I heard you guys, obviously, it's similar weight classes, but I heard you guys would never fight against each other. So do you guys spar? And if you do spar, what are them sparring sessions like?
Well, we used to spar. We don't spar no more. You know, it was rough. It was that same feeling. Like, if you hit me hard, do I back off? What do I do when you hit me hard? Like, nah, bro, we can't be hitting each other no more. Cause I'm starting to not like this. You know, you hit me hard. I want to let loose. And then mom always told us we don't need to be fighting. So it's just like, yeah. It's over with.
It's a different fight now. Them punches too violent. Not now. Right, the punches too violent now.
I think about it like 14, 13, 14. We start getting in trouble at home if we fought each other like over something, you know, something simple. We get in trouble at home for it.
We got in a couple fights in sparring, so it was like, nah, it's over. The quarter's out of there. Y'all going too hard on each other.
Who was, I'll start with you, Mel. Who was the toughest fight up to this point in your career and why?
I feel like my toughest fight was the you know, the Tony Harrison fight because they came in with different game plans. They moved the first fight, you know, the first fight because in 2018, I wasn't developed like mentally like I am developed now. You know, it's crazy that I only say that it's 2020, but, you know, 2 years make a big difference, you know. I just feel like, you know, the movement, you know, the height, so many different things that I had to adapt to in the midst of 36 minutes, you know, and that it wasn't something that we got prepared for. And then, you know, like, I don't know, man. I still feel like I won that fight no matter what, but, you know, I pushed myself way more than he did in the fight. That's why I feel like I won. I feel like I was more aggressive and stuff. But, I guess, you know, the fight I lost, you know, the fight that they made more controversial than any fight
was
my toughest one.
What about you, Ma?
My toughest fight was probably, I fought against Korobov on a date. My brother actually got robbed for his title. That was kind of one of my toughest fights only because, you know, I was getting ready for a different softball. And then 5 days before the fight, he tested positive for steroids. So they switched in this other guy that had been already training, getting ready for me, you know, on the fly. So I just had to go there and make the best adjustments. But at the same time, I had a lot going through my head because, you know, I was like, damn. You know, they robbed my brother. What if they just trying to pull some, you know, scandalous shit tonight? But it is what it is. It's one of my, you know, one of my toughest fights, but not one of the toughest fighters I done fought. One of the toughest fighters has probably been Julian Williams, undefeated. He was another guy. I knocked him out, but, he was just another tough dude, but that, you know, came in with a lot of heart, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I was about to say that couldn't have been a tough fight, because the night they robbed your brother, you beat the shit out of that dude.
Well, to the world, they still thought like, oh man, that was a close fight, because, you know, the guy landed some punches early on in the fight, but I had to shake my head, you know, and get my head clear. You know, just seeing my brother lose for the first time ever in my life, that shit was kind of like, you know, It had messed with me mentally. But I shook it off, and then, you know, then I went to destroy him. But the toughest fighter, like I said, had to been Julian Williams. He talked a lot of crap, tried to intimidate me. But it only woke up the fire, you know. Everybody who talked mess to me and my twin brother, we usually knock him out. And that was just something I was going for.
I mean, you guys are known for knockouts. What has been each of you, what has been your most gratifying knockout?
Mine was when I knocked out Lubin in the first round.
He tore his whole Achilles, his whole knee fell up under him. Like,
and I was knocked out a year that year, dog. That's messed up.
And one of my favorite knockouts probably was the Julian Williams knockout, you know, just flushing him, putting him down. But, you know, like, we don't never go for the knockout. They just come. So we surprised ourselves.
Yeah. Was that an uppercut?
Yeah, it was an uppercut. Then I just flourished him with a whole bunch of punches at the end just to sit him down.
Yeah. Talk to us, obviously, because you guys are a little over a week out from your fight. What is your guys' training regimen, your preparation? Do you guys talk every day still? Do you guys compare camps? Like, is it completely separate? Talk to our fans and your fans about what a normal training camp is like leading up to a fight.
Oh, man, the fire lit right now. The fire lit. Me and my twin brother, we talk to each other. We even ask each other what you eating, what you weighing, we want to feel what each other feel right at the moment. Sparring, everything is good right now. Like, honestly, the closer it gets to the fight, the better it is for us. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, we always asking each other good questions and keeping each other intact.
You have to cut a little bit more weight. Can you tell us what that's like? Because I don't think people understand how tough that shit is. I mean, being a professional athlete, I didn't really have to cut much weight. Jack walked around the same as he did back then. What is it like having to cut, you know, 10, 15 pounds? How tough is that to actually do?
Cutting weight is like the fight. That's the fight for us. Once we cut weight, we on. Once we cut weight, we good to go. You know what I'm saying? So the fight is already won, and we train hard no matter what. So, you know, just having to eat smaller portions, and then, you know, you get a little thirsty. You can't drink that. You can't drink that same sweet juice that you used to drink, or the sweet tea. You got to have a little glass of water, and the water got to be half of that glass. So you pour a full glass, you're going to down it. You know what I'm saying? So, but giving your body just the right energy and the right the nutrients that it needs at that time, that's how we cut. But cutting weight ain't too hard, but it's always a challenge. It ain't never easy.
Who got the most cars?
I do. I love cars.
I think my brother got he got more cars than me.
Cars and fashion is something you guys are both into. Obviously, money helps that, but what drove the passion of fashion and then cars? And I seen one of y'all got a big-ass house. I'm figuring the other one got a big-ass house, too. So what drove all that, you know, hunger?
Man, honestly, man, growing up, where me and my brother grew up at, we really didn't have much, you know, especially like when it come to like cars. And we used to watch the older athletes, the vets in the sport, they always, you know, bragged on their cars. And it was just a thing about, you know, being a boxer, like, you know, we like flashy stuff, you know, big house, big cars, big family. They call me Big Charlo. So, you know, that's where they go from, you know?
He said that's why they call you Stack, right, Jay? It's just they go with the name.
I'm trying to tell you, keep it on me. Yes, sir.
Everything big in Texas.
Yes, sir.
Teeth included, but go ahead. Who's a better dresser of y'all two? I know y'all both keep it fresh. Who's a better dresser?
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I don't really want to, you know, say my brother like not a better dresser than me, because, like, you know, y'all trying to be messy fashion right now. Y'all trying to be messy right now.
I just want to know for some twin shit. I just want to know some twin shit.
We could dress, though. We both got some style. So whenever you put on something, I'm like, all right. You know, I just think that my brother,
He go go to the extreme with it, extreme. You know, I think like when we put on like ties and suits and stuff, he can't touch me. I'll do him when that way. But he'll come out of nowhere with some like Kanye Urban mixed with some. You know, I'm just not afraid to wear
what I want to wear. You know what I'm saying? I wear whatever I want to wear. Like, you know, I'm not really worried about, like, you know,
you take chances.
How I look. I just like to wear things that I like to wear. You know what I mean? And my brother, you know, like he said, he's gonna try to mix it up and give you, like, you know. I know he don't be comfortable in the things he's wearing. And that's the thing I'm always... I like to wear what I like to wear, you know, simple as that. I really taught him how to dress. Like, if he was, like...
You told me 11, how to dress?
Grade, like, 11, 12th grade, like, you was in, like, in an alternative school, so you really wasn't dressing, like, yet. And then, you know, like, I brought him to school, like, hey, yo, y'all meet my twin brother, you know, he back to regular school now.
That happened one semester. one semester.
I love it. Hey, this shit sound like my house, though. I love it. They be on, if everything is a competition, I'm better than you at this shit is funny. I love it. How has it been able to balance family life, being fathers, but during a pandemic, but still training? That's just a lot of different shit on top of a lot of different shit.
It was easy. You know, we both got big cribs, and so we both got gyms at our house. And, you know, all you got to do is stay away from people. So that's easy for us to do, you know. Ain't nothing to get outside and just get your work in, be a boxer. Then my coach, you know, that was the hard thing for me, having my coach come in and out of town. So, and not be around nobody. It was like nobody wanted to catch planes and stuff, so I bought a bus. You know, I bought a bus to travel back and forth from Houston to Dallas. I already had a Sprinter, but I ended up buying a real Prevost bus so I could have a bed in there to lay down. And that's what make it easier. Wake up, you in Dallas, go to sleep, you back in Houston. It was just easier.
That's dope. What about you?
Man, it's been easy for me. You know, I got like one of the biggest bubbles in America, so I just, you know, stay around here at the crib. Play me some full court basketball, whatever.
Oh,
you know.
Here we go with that.
He had to throw that in there, Jack.
This Showtime basketball, right? You know, we of the smoke. Like, I do everything. I got a volleyball team if you want to play volleyball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, man, your brother swear he got game, bro.
Bro,
I got a full court as well.
I'm dunking. I'm doing all the stuff you're doing.
I got a full court at home, too.
I told Matt, hey, man, go back to that Instagram picture I posted. I was right there by you. Like, you not that much bigger than me, dude. Like, I promise.
Like, that's the difference?
I'm telling you, like, it's a lot of, you know, I'm strong now, you know?
He said he's doing everything we doing on the court, Matt. He said
everything.
I'm
telling you.
Shit. Only thing I'm doing on the court right now is smoking. I know you ain't doing that, so you ain't doing nothing that I'm doing.
Nah.
This is going to be your first time. How do you guys feel about not having fans? I mean, obviously, me and Jack being former players, we knew how much energy they brought to the arena every time. Get the goosebumps. We do it for our fans. The NBA has been able to adapt with, you know, alternative sounds and crowds from the computer. You guys ain't going to have none of that. How you think it's going to be just in there going to war with no fans?
I mean, fans going to be crazy. You know, not having the fans is just, it's going to be different. It's going to be like high level, though. You know, I believe the fans could be a more distraction than anything. So not having fans is going to make your IQ sharper. It's going to make you hit harder. You're going to hear your sound. You hit that body, you're going to want to hit it harder. Cause whatever, you know. They doing a lot of COVID, you know, 19 precautionary stuff. So, you know, I respect it, you know. So if you want to get in there and make you some money, you got to go in there and fight and adapt. It's part of adversity to me. Me, it's just like, you know, true. Remain comfortable. You know, it's already an uncomfortable situation. Just go in there, remain comfortable. Y'all seen LeBron. LeBron had a hard time coming back when he first came back to the bubble. He wasn't performing the same way he was used to, like, you know, the crowd get on their feet every time he dunked or whatnot. We don't know right now because we haven't fought without no fans, but we know his fans always watching us at all times, you know, so... Any given moment, the fight could change. So we gotta stay focused, stay zeroed in, stay locked in. We're gonna get these dubs.
We still gonna be supporting from afar, bro. Trust me, we gonna be locked in.
Mm-hmm. Live on Showtime pay-per-view.
You already know. There it is. Self promo. Jack, you want to say anything, Jack? You want to jump in this conversation?
I have been. Go ahead. Fuck is he talking about?
Y'all should spar each other, bro.
I would do it. I box a couple times a week. I think it'd be dope. I'm always down to spar.
See, and Matt, no, I'm down to do that too. But this is my thing, bro. I only have one speed, and I don't want to put that. I don't even want to expend that on my brother. Just like y'all are. I'm 42 years old. I'm a grown man. I have one speed. I can't play fight. I don't know how to play fight.
Y'all can hug later though. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
You gotta keep your composure. Come on, Stack. Keep your composure, man.
I ain't got that, bro. I'm just being real. I ain't got
it. He says it's a 0 or 100. We going to war straight up. Ain't no pity pat.
Yeah. And I don't have no hate in my heart for my brother, so I can't give him that energy.
That's how I feel, Ma. I want to spar my brother so bad, but I just, you know, I just let
him
ride.
You don't want to spar me. I promise you don't want to spar me.
I really want to spar you so bad again just one time just to show you how good I am, bro. Just how much better I got.
I know you're good, bro.
We had the same trainer, but when I left my trainer, I feel like I got better, but I ain't going to even talk about that.
Let's just say what Stack said. Let's everybody just say what Stack said. You know, Stack, you're doing a good job being a peacemaker these days, you know, fight for injustice. I don't want to, you know, go through any of that with y'all. So. Hey, this is a different type of sport. This is a different type of chemistry. You know, we don't share that.
Bro, yeah. I told Matt y'all was comedy, dog. He did not believe me, dog. I told him, dog.
No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. Like, I'm serious.
You said I'm dead ass. What you mean? This ain't no joke.
I feel like you, Matt. Shit, I feel like Matt. Like, I'm down to spar him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just keep the energy, you know, keep it, you know, away from
you.
You
got a full court. I got a full court. Let's see who make the most threes or something.
Nah, you want to fight? That's a whole different.
All right, bro. See,
world,
there you go. You see, I was trying to let him make it. I just told him I'm great. I've been good before. I'm great now.
Let's stay on subject.
Hey, Ma, after a fight, you said you never put a dog in a pen with a lion.
Yeah.
Define lions only in your mind.
Lions only, you know, you got to be a survivor when you step in there. You know, it's like a real lion to go through what me and my brother been through. You know, you gotta know how to win. You gotta know how to prevail. You gotta know how to change during adversity, make the best adjustments in there. And sometimes they get away with trying to put these little dogs in their line pen, but you know, it slipped by sometimes and they run up out of there though. So to really survive where we from and to come through the things that we've been through, you gotta be a real lion.
Killer be killed. Mm-hmm. Killer be Lions killed. Only. Everyone's starting their own promotions now, similar to what Floyd is doing. Have you guys got any advice from him or anyone else in the process of you guys starting your own stuff?
My brother don't really like Floyd. Like, I don't know why my brother just keep, you know, I don't know. I like Floyd Mayweather. I get advice from,
you know, Al Hemi. You know, he does a lot for us. He tell me a lot, you know, what to do and how to do it. It's so many fighters in the game that want to sign with Lions Only. They just want to, you know, but a lot of people want to be in your shoes. And that's just what it is. Sometimes they don't have the same fighting in them. Like, but, you know, they want to be a lion. A lot of people out there are lions. A lot of people got that lion lifestyle where they sit back a few times and all they got to do is just go out there and work a little bit and harvest. That's how we are. You know, we sit back, we just enjoy the weather. And then all of a sudden we get a phone call. Hey, it's time to go. All right, it's time to go live on pay-per-view. We fighting on pay-per-view. That's a whole nother level. We turning up. So, you know, we know how to get our bodies ready for that. We know how to train. We know how to take it to the next level, and that's all it's about.
But like I said, my brother don't like nobody in his weight division.
Do you like anybody in your weight division?
No, I don't.
Floyd be jumping in and out of boxing. You know, he's a great fighter.
Leave Floyd alone, bro. Leave Floyd alone.
I know I am. I left him alone. Mm-hmm. You told me, hey, leave Floyd alone. Don't. Yeah. All right, I ain't. Because I don't want it to look like it's some clout chasing. I don't want it to look like it's some name dropping.
I know it ain't clout chasing. That's why I'm like, you serious.
I'm just a real fighter, dog. I'm just a real fighter. So. And you come back and you trying to fight MMA and you fighting in my weight, like, and you the linear champion in my weight. What am I supposed to say if I'm the champion trying to get all of the belts?
I know, but we talking about Floyd, man. He already finished.
He done. You know I know that. I respect what he's done to the game of boxing. I respect what he's done for boxing.
He said in YouTubers now. Hey, I can see how you just be pushing the shit out your buttons. I can see it.
Right. He be angry.
like, nice and calm, like nice and calm to make you even madder. Like, man, what the fuck you talking about? You've been doing nice and calm, though.
Come on, man. We got bigger fights coming up, man.
I know. But I just want to let it be known if he ever was to say, hey, you know, I want to fight a real boxer, I'm here for it.
That's like a fantasy matchup.
Well, let it be.
Have y'all ever fought with yourselves on the video games?
Nah, man. They need to come back out with Fight Night and Knockout Kings and all that.
Let's start a video game, Ma.
We need to do, man. Because I can't wait to see myself on the video game.
So you guys have never got that chance yet?
Nah, never, man. Never got that chance.
Lions Only Boxing. That's the game right there. Lions Only Boxing.
We're going to find some money for that. Do you guys have anybody underneath Lions Only brand right now that is coming up that we need to be on the lookout for? Or are you guys still looking for people?
Well, we're still working on our roster, honestly. Yeah. We're still building up our roster. My brother got a few fighters, but I got a few fighters, but like I said, we're still building them right now. My brother got an artist, I think. You know, we got our thing going.
Who are some of the boxers you guys looked up to growing up?
Man, I was a big Roy Jones fan.
I was a Tyson fan.
I like Vernon Forrest, Chico Diego Corrales.
Holyfield.
My brother liked a lot of heavyweights. I liked a lot of people that was like definitely in my
Lennox
division.
Lennox Lewis was a dope fighter.
Mm-hmm. Like, big, too.
We liked the Kliskos because they were brothers, so anytime they fought, we was on the TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
Diego was my boy too.
We like the Darrell brothers growing up. Lamont Peterson, any brothers, we kind of always looked up to the brothers in the sport. But like, that's just one of the things we did.
Different vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. What about you, man?
I was a big Magic Johnson fan. Grant Hill. I was a Laker fan growing up. You know, I'm from California, so the Showtime Lakers in the early '80s. Hell yeah, you already know.
I just wanted to know.
I grew up, like I said, a Laker fan, Magic, Grant Hill, guys that could do a little bit of everything on the court, you know?
Both of y'all was like some basketball players that was known for fighting, though, like Stack, that Indiana fight you had, that was crazy, you know what I mean?
You seen how I stepped with that right?
I was just about to say that. Somebody was teaching you at the time.
spring training he did.
You learned that in Texas.
You, Jermaine O'Neal, it's going down.
J.O. slipped on the court when he threw that right, didn't he? Or he would have knocked that whole dude's face off.
Correction, Matt. He slipped and still knocked him out.
But I'm saying if he didn't slip, he could have been a casualty. A real life casualty.
We're leaving the arena, Matt, on the bus, and we see dude on the stretcher. They carried him out on the stretcher.
That was crazy. I remember watching that as a kid, bro. Growing up, like, dang, it's going down. Because you know you only see that in the park at the basketball court.
Or you'll see football players fight. You don't really see basketball players getting it in like that.
And it was crazy too because I was playing. I was in Sacramento at the time, so we was just about to leave our locker room, and we made the second half start late because the whole team and coaches was in there watching that shit go down. While we was at halftime of our game, that shit was crazy. What are you guys listening to? I heard one of you said you guys rap. What are y'all listening to right now?
Man, I normally just keep a little smooth. I like Free A new album that dropped. I listen to Kate Camp, he cool. Chris Brown, my dog, so I'm always rock with him.
See, everything he drop.
Yeah, everything he drop, I'm listening to that. So it's just like...
I think he's our generation Michael Jackson.
I think our generation Michael Jackson probably would be Drake right now, you know?
No.
What's wrong with him? Drake can't dance.
But as far as when he dropped music, we're not talking about Drake dancing.
Music-wise, Chris Brown is the guy. Legend.
All right, so listen.
Iconic legend.
I know this is going to turn into this because, you know, it turns into like this every time like when we talk about music. Chris Brown, all right, Stack. We know Chris Brown. Anything Chris Brown drops, he's the king of music, man.
He could rap. Yes, Chris Brown could rap too.
Bro.
I'm always B, so we in the same clique.
So it's one heartbeat. But you can't take nothing away from Drake. Everything Drake put out is
a hit. No question.
It lasts forever. You know what I'm saying? You can't take nothing away from Drake. Like, you can't do that.
Hey, they both holding it down for the light skin, so we good on that.
Yeah. But you still got the young guys, like, you still got, like, Gunner, he's steady dropping heat.
Lil Baby.
Lil Baby steady dropping heat. They pulled up 42 Dub, made him somebody. You know what I'm saying? He from, what, Detroit? They doing good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Young Thug kind of go hard. I like Young Thug music.
Who y'all jamming from Houston, though? Who y'all jamming from home, though? I'm jamming DeLorean and Killer. I've been listening to them.
Killer always been a cold rapper. Killer always been one of the, you know, cold rappers that's in the game right now. But from home,
it's hard because
Houston music is changing, man. Houston music keep changing. They going from, like, you know, like, you'll hear something cold from, like, the Sauce Twins here and there, you know, like, you know. Then you'll hear something like, you know, Propane to drop something. Propane is real lyrical from Houston. But like I said, Killer Caleon is like one of the, he's one of the lyrical
guys. Lil Brent, y'all go check him out.
Shout out Lil Brent,
he go hard.
Who do you guys walk out to? Who you listen to right before a fight? Your particular artist, particular song?
Man, I like old school music before I go to a fight. Like, I like to, I like my classics, you know. You might even hear me listening to some Pac, some Biggie, keep my, you know, I almost consider Nipsey a classic now. You like, you know, I like to listen to Nipsey. Like, it's just all classic music for me.
Mm-hmm. I like to catch a rhythm, so, you know, it's all about the beat and the rhythm to me. So, and then there's no audience too, so I'm CB, straight up. I listen to that dude's music.
You can catch a rhythm to the ring.
Right when you get in the ring, you're gonna slip on the punch, throw a punch at you. Make music in there. Yeah.
Obviously, not looking ahead, your next opponent is your most important opponent. But without looking ahead, who are maybe a couple guys each of you would like to fight at some point?
Canelo, Triple G. You already know.
It's gotta be Canelo, it's gotta be Triple G. You know what I mean? The sky's the limit right now. We'll go up in class. We'll go, you know, I might let my brother take over 160. I go up to 68. You know, the sky's the limit coming soon, you know. You never know what you're going to expect out of a Charlotte.
Getting all the belts on the 154 right now. So my eyes is on whoever got a belt right now. I got to get, we got to get to it. You want me to go up to 60? I can't go up to 60 right now. I want you to hold it down.
Yeah, I'm going to hold it down. I'm going to hold it down for sure. I'm going to hold it down.
Now, what question with Canelo initially signing that big old deal, and obviously, you know, they're in court right now with Golden Boy because things aren't as smooth or as sweet as they thought they were. What do you guys think about that when you think about the business of boxing?
Boxing is real a big politics sport. You know, man, unfortunately, Canelo going through it right now. You know, I don't want to kick a man while he's down, but, hey, cross sides, bro. Come back over here, man. You know, over here in North America.
Showtime, come to
Showtime, bro. You know you got a good spot over here, some great fights over here. But, you know, it's unfortunate that he didn't get the chance to fulfill his deal. And, you know, they got to go through whatever they got to go through. But hopefully it don't stop him from some big fights, you know. Him and Golden Boy going through it. I mean, he in a bad situation right now. He owe a lot of people. But hopefully, you know, I can make some money with him and maybe he can cash out and clear his debt. Something, I don't know.
I feel you. What should your guys' fans expect coming up with you guys' first double headliner fight? What should fans expect?
Fireworks, man.
We said it together.
Two wins.
Two knockouts.
Let's go. We're going to bang it out.
Wars.
Mm-hmm. We got wars.
Swollen faces, whatever we want. I'm trying to go get it. Come back home.
They want to see the Charlos in the war. They want to see us in the war. They got a war. We got a war.
I'm going to be kicked up in my movie room, two or three joints, a couple drinks, and just enjoying all of it. Can't wait.
For sure.
Can't wait.
Lastly, man, what do you guys want to be remembered as when it's all said and done in the sport of boxing? There's been a lot of greats. A lot of people have held titles. What do you guys want your legacy to be in this sport?
I mean, I say big as the Kliskos, you know, like, or bigger, you know, like, we want to be champions together, like, we in the same weight division again, if that's possible. We just want to be legends, you know, where people follow our platform and they recognize every time they see us, they're like, them dudes was animals, they dogs, and they looked out for people. They was good people, you know. We don't just want people to think we some crazy warriors that just walk around, you know, banging their bats against the poles and stuff. We want people to understand that we really serious about the sport of boxing and we passionate and we love the game, but we love life as well and family.
Legendary, man. We definitely going down in the history books as two of the greatest twins that ever boxed and put a laced up a pair of gloves. We mean it with passion, and, you know, we passionate fighters, so, you know, they get a chance to see it.
Let me ask y'all one quick question. I know y'all probably seen them, but is these two little set of twins that be on IG that be training each other? Have y'all seen them on IG?
Yeah, we used to do the same thing. What is it? The Grady twins.
The Grady twins. Yeah.
They're going to be good. Shout out to the Grady twins.
They're getting older. That's cool. We've been watching them for a few years now.
Yeah, they're going to be great. They're going to be some great fighters.
For our fans, for your fans, tell them where they can find you upcoming, and what should they where can they find you? Tell us about your fight and promote yourself right now.
Showtime pay per view September 26th, a doubleheader. Jamel Charlo. Yeah, it's the Charlo twins. We back. We coming through. Hey, y'all keep it locked. We a force to be reckoned. Now y'all get a chance to really see what we got. We got some great opponents. And, hey, let's do it. We ready.
Catch us behind the scenes. They can also catch us behind the scenes. Ringside with the Lions. And they can also, that's on YouTube. YouTube World, Ringside with the Lions. On IG, Twin Charlo, Future of Boxing. The next fight's coming up big next week, September 26th.
Yes, sir.
Tune in.
Pay-per-view.
Absolutely. Man, we appreciate you guys' time today. Stay blessed, you and your families. And we looking forward to seeing you guys on the 26th, man. Can't wait.
Appreciate y'all, bro.
Hold
on. And then after that, we going to kick it because you said I was acting funny in Vegas. So I'm going to fly to Houston and come kick it. I'm going to fly to Houston and come kick it. We going to get down.
All right, fellas. Good luck, man.
God bless, fellas.
All right, man. Appreciate y'all, bro.
Hey, stay locked, bro.
Love, bro. Y'all know that, man.
That's a wrap with the Charlo Twins World Champions. See y'all next time.
Two world champions, they happen to be twin brothers.
Well, the ingredients are there. Two guys who love to sit down to their punches and throw that firepower.
I'm not scared of nobody, and I'm definitely not scared of someone who talks. There's no one in the division that can beat me. There's no one in the division that's strong as me.
It would definitely deliver a statement. The power is for real. Be able to get a chance to let everyone in the world see the great things that me and my twin brother has done for the sport of boxing.
Oh! Charlo just dropped Lubin!
Being on the same card gives us energy. We want to be sharp. We want to be at our best.
We're going to both meet in the middle of the ring, and we're going to let our hands go. Let the best men win.
They are boxing. And they pound for pound.
This is All a Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.